You are listening to the Indie PopCon Podcast Award submission for 2018 for the Bingeworthy Podcast. Bingeworthy is produced by Rob Southgate and features Rob Southgate and Martha Southgate. This episode was recorded in Hoffman Estates, just outside of Chicago, and features discussion about the Netflix original series, Making a Murderer. Each episode, Bingeworthy covers a different bingeable show and lets you know whether it's bingeworthy or not. Enjoy. Welcome to Bingeworthy. I am Rob Southgate.
I'm Martha Southgate.
And we have an interesting one today. We binged Making a Murderer from Netflix.
Yep.
Marth, do you want to give a little...
Which film?
Yeah, I've got binge brain, so yeah, go ahead.
There you go. It first premiered on December 18th, 2015, and 10 episodes.
Yes. Well, and to be fair, we watched it when it aired, right away. So there's going to be some perspective here.
That will be a slightly different.
Yes.
Written and directed by Laura, I don't know how you say their name so well, but I'm just going to butcher them. Laura Ricciardi.
Ricciardi. I think it's Ricciardi.
Ricciardi. And Moira Demos.
Yes, I think that's correct.
And so what they're doing is they follow the story of Stephen Avery from Manitowoc County, Wisconsin. He served 18 years in prison for the wrongful conviction of a sexual assault and attempted murder, okay? Then DNA evidence exonerated him.
Right.
And he was freed, okay? But he was then arrested on murder charges for murdering Teresa Halbach. Now,
this is after now it's interesting because when you watch it, when we first watched it, and you find this out in the first episode, you see this whole thing about how he's been convicted and how he went to jail, and then they let him out, and you're going, what is this show about? And then they start like, really making him like a local hero. The whole state is like holding him up on their shoulders. And then he gets accused.
I don't agree with you on that. I think these two filmmakers
were
making him a local hero. No, if you remember, everybody in the towns were like, these people are bad. There's something wrong with these people.
The state was, because the state, they had the Stephen Avery law, and they were using him as a poster boy.
Okay. But not the community he lived in.
Right.
Because everybody there is like, no, this is a bad seed. You have no idea.
A problem.
And for whatever reason, these women were trying to make him a sympathetic character and make him look like he was just this misunderstood, lovely man. And I'm thinking,
well, that was what was crazy about this. So we'll flip those cards right away. The filmmakers, it was very manipulative.
Yes.
It was not good journalism.
It was not factual.
Right.
Most of
because
the time.
Because a documentary, yes, it should have the filmmaker's perspective, but it should also not be so heavy-handed one way. This was very manipulative, making you think that Stephen Avery was innocent. They did things to like allude to him not being innocent.
Mm-hmm. But not really.
You could tell the whole time, you're like, they're really pushing that he's innocent.
And if you actually read the court transcripts and you read anything else outside of this documentary and you dig a little bit deeper, a lot of what they say is not factual at all. And it goes against what went on in court and what the actual facts are. And that was really hard for me afterwards because so that's why we're putting a warning out here.
Yeah.
Because go into it knowing this is fiction. A lot of this is fiction.
It's a good way to approach it, or to at least know you're not getting an unbiased.
You're not approach. Getting the story.
Because
it's not true.
But it's kind of like watching what's his name? Michael Moore film. I like Michael Moore films. But he goes at it in a very biased way.
Mm-hmm.
Much of what he does is – I'm going to do everything I can to sway you to my
view. Or is he at least telling the truth about these people? These women were not telling the truth about him. They were saying different things about the evidence that was found.
Yes.
They were telling different, they were not telling the truth.
Well, it muddied a lot of what you were seeing because they were definitely trying to manipulate. Now, here's what's interesting. I'm going to add a wrinkle to this.
Mm-hmm. Wrinkle away.
Well, after we watched it, you know, it ends, and we both had talked about this. You and I, as we're watching it, we kept saying, boy, they're really pushing that he's innocent. Mm-hmm. This is
But we really believed he was innocent based on watching this.
Right. But we start, but by the end, by the last episode, we were going, we both said, I feel like they're pushing one way.
Yeah.
Even though we were buying it because we didn't know anything about the case.
Right.
Right. But by the last episode, and that's why we went upstairs. I'll never forget it. You and I went upstairs. We pulled up our phones and we started looking for anything we could about this.
Yeah.
Because we're going, something's not.
And that's when we found out that it was so.
It was manipulative.
Wrong. But there were so many things that they blatantly lied about.
Right.
Like they, so, about certain evidence, about certain court. Thing, like,
yeah,
and you go, you read it and you go, that is not at all what happened.
The way they portrayed, like, the lawyer involvement and everything, mm-hmm. the public opinion, you're like,
yeah,
they were really playing with that.
It was not right.
But that wrinkle I was going to add is I went, because I'm a big podcast fan, I looked it up under podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I found shows like, I believe one is called Undisclosed, mm-hmm. That did a series about this where – I think that's the one. It was lawyers. Mm-hmm. And there are other ones. Just look up Making a Murderer, and you will find some really fascinating podcasts. I found one where it was two lawyers, and it might have been Undisclosed, two lawyers that picked the case apart. So they talked about what the evidence was. Like they looked at court documents and everything, and then they talked about the documentary, and they would say, yeah, they were making you believe this, but if you read the court documents, this is what was going on. And it added a really interesting perspective. So I highly recommend checking out the podcast, and I will try to figure out which were maybe my top three that I tried mm-hmm. and put them in the show notes. But Undisclosed is one that I know was in the top three. I just don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of here.
Okay.
So it
was filmed over 10 years.
Yes.
And the filmmakers moved back and forth from New York to Wisconsin.
Which is interesting that they latched onto this story like this.
And it was really weird to me that women in particular would defend him after what he did.
Right.
It makes it, it was very,
but were they,
that see, was harder for me.
I wonder if they were defending him or if they just chose that as their perspective and they stuck to it. Because
then what?
How could women defend him?
Why would
this
you
guy?
Defend him knowing what you know? There's no way they didn't know the truth. There's no way they didn't know. Then why? So that, to me, I'm having a real hard time.
Although, hold on a second.
You go for it.
It could be that our interpretation of them making him innocent was manipulative in and of itself. Because they knew by the time this came out and they were editing it down and everything, they knew the outcome. Mm-hmm. They knew the trial. So maybe they were trying to make you, they were puppeting us. We were sitting here going, he's innocent, he's innocent, he's innocent. Then you sit here like, outrage. And then afterwards, they're like, you know, we'll take the heat. We'll take the bad press because we're going to get a season two. Season two could be a completely different approach.
Season two is, they announced in July of 2016. Season two is going to be all about Dassey's conviction.
So, Martha, yeah. Are you ready to?
I want to hear yours.
How I want to do it? Okay, so it's either binge the heck, we're just binge it out. There is worth the wait. No, what is it? Worth the watch, mm-hmm. binge it out, space it out, or don't bother. Okay.
Well, do you want me to go first since I'm going to fit in one of those categories?
I do too, but go ahead.
I would say it's hard for me. I would say binge the heck out of it because it is well made.
Yeah.
It is extremely interesting. It's fun to watch and it's fascinating. But please go into it with your eyes open and know, okay, they're telling a story here and then I'm going to go get all the facts.
Yes.
Or get all the facts first and then go binge the heck out of it and see how it matches up.
Oh, that's an interesting
would be a fun angle. And I might do that and go back and rewatch it.
Before season two, maybe explore it. Because it is
fascinating
story.
And so I do not want anyone to think that I don't think this is a
you and you are
good
recommending
show.
To binge it, but
binge
you've
the
got a
heck
little
out of it. But you need to understand that there are things that are omitted and skewed.
I like that way. Okay, what I was going to say is binge the heck. But here's why I said it's a little different. I'm saying binge the heck because you're going to enjoy it. You're going to want to do that. If you space it out at all, you're going to start looking other things up and it's going to ruin the experience because you're going to know you're being manipulated in it at key points. So I say get through it, enjoy it for what it is. And then this is where it really differs. Find those podcasts and binge the heck. I was painting one of the bedrooms. I think it was Undisclosed was the one that I was falling into. Even if it's not, it's a great podcast. Listen to Undisclosed. But I think that was the one. And I think I listened to like 6 episodes while I was painting that room. I just was eating them up. I'm like, this is amazing. And it gave me a completely new perspective on the whole story. It was phenomenal. But I would have not had that experience had I not binged the Netflix show. So there you go. We both say binge the heck. We both have a slightly different approach to it, though. And it's what's fascinating is this is a completely different approach than we've had to any of the other shows we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Martha, are you done?
I'm done. Yeah.
Excellent. Follow us on Twitter at SMG Binges. Follow us on Facebook, Bingeworthy Podcast, and subscribe on Patreon. We're asking $5, one tier, but you get an extra episode every month. If we get enough, you're going to get the Twitter binge party. We could do Making a Murderer on a Twitter binge party. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine after everybody watches it and we all tweet together. Oh my gosh. So find us on Patreon, Bingeworthy Podcast. That's it. We're done. Back to the couch.